Okay, good morning. We are just 1 week away from Pesach, Chag HaGeulah, Bezrat Hashem. And there's going to be two brisses in the shul before Pesach, which is Baruch Hashem, amazing. The shul smells like Hek Shachelim. It smells like Haggadah in here. It really feels like Pesach. Pesach itself has many, many different names. So we'll share five different ideas on the Haggadah. Five, many different names. It's called Chag HaAviv, Chag HaPesach, Zman Chayrusenu, and Chag HaMatzos. Rav Druk wants to know, why is it not called Chag HaMatzah? Why is it called Chag HaMatzos? What I look for, we're sharing Divrei Torah, which I love to share Divrei Torah, but what I look for at the Seder more than anything else are not the Divrei Torah themselves, are good questions. You need good questions for the Seder. Whether you get great answers or not is very secondary to questions that are able to engender discussion and conversation. Questions that people can relate to on all different ages and stages in life, and backgrounds in Judaism. So some questions are, you're going to address and it's going to hit up philosophically inclined, where some are going to be like high level or next level intellectuals or people that have been, let's say, from birth. Others are questions that maybe are more basic in nature that maybe the younger generation is going to appreciate a little bit more. And then the grand slam, the Hall of Fame questions, are the ones that are across the board are really amazing for everybody. So hopefully today we'll have some Divrei Torah, but the goal really is to get sharp questions that you can share at the Seder that can create that conversation about Yetzias Mitzrayim, about the history of the Jewish people, about the destiny of Klal Yisrael, about Emunah, Bitachon. That is the most important thing, and the jumping point off is the question itself. So you can rate the questions afterwards. I don't have a Yelp page, but Chag HaMatzos. Why is it called Chag HaMatzos? So says Rav Druk the following, and he says, you see an inconsistency within the Haggadah itself. At the very beginning of the Haggadah, in Halach Ma'anya, we call the matzah Halach ma'anya di'achlu avasana be'ara di'mitzrayim. There was a movement, I think, after 9/11, where they wanted to call French fries. What do they want to call them? Liberty fries, or I remember them something different. Freedom fries. Thank you, Karen. Freedom
Freedom
fries.
fries.
Freedom fries. Liberty fries. You want? So it didn't work. It didn't stick. It didn't land. It just didn't work. Maybe if they got like McDonald's or Burger King on that, then it would have worked. But matzah is freedom bread, or freedom matzah. That's the way we define the matzah itself. However, in the very beginning of Maggid, in the very beginning of the Seder, we call the matzah by the anti-freedom. It is the bread that we ate in Egypt. In Egypt. Much later on in the Haggadah, I'm going to analyze these paragraphs a little bit, soon. Matzazu al shumah, right? Why do we eat the matzah? Because when we left Egypt, we had dough on our backs and we didn't, and it couldn't rise, and we were in a rush and we left. And then it just stayed like that flat, surfacey bread, and it became matzah. When do we eat the matzah? When we left Egypt. There's a matzah when we ate, right, in Egypt, or we left Egypt. So the Avujraham quotes the Ibn Ezra, who says, I have a raya for what the Ibn Ezra says. The Ibn Ezra said in his many travels in life, he found himself in India, and he was jailed. He was thrown into jail in India. You know what they gave him in jail? Matzah. Why did they give him matzah? Because it stays in your stomach for a very long time. perhaps maybe even after 7 days, right? And we all know all the antacid questions that I've been getting before Pesach. Everyone is looking forward to eating that matzah with some Pepsid on the Kara. So you have the matzah. Ibn Ezra ate it. Why? Because it stays in your stomach. And he says that's really what it means. The Achlu Avasana Ba'ara de Mitzrayim. We ate it when we were in Egypt. Why? Not as an expression of freedom. Because the Egyptians were cheap. They wanted to only feed us one meal a day. What can you feed somebody one meal a day and you're going to feel bloated the entire... It's matzah. But matzah, at some point during the Seder, transforms. It is no longer shibud or avdos matzah. It becomes matzah shalcheiros. Matzah itself transforms. And later on in the Seder, when we were already out of Mitzrayim, the same matzah, the same element, same tool that was used to feed us when we were slaves becomes the tool of salvation and becomes a symbol of salvation, right? This within itself is almost like, you know, really embodies the Jewish people. We, the Jewish people ourselves, are symbolized by this. We begin as slaves and we end as free people. But we take the tools of servitude throughout the generations, and we use those tools of servitude to become ways of salvation. And the matzah itself transforms. That's why Rav Druk writes, it's called Chag HaMatzos, to recognize the dual message of the matzah. Right? What do you have at the Seder? The Rambam had two matzos. We have three, right? Everyone here has three matzos. Anyone have four? There's an old minhag to have four matzos. Why do you have the fourth? Because very often, one of the two that's supposed to stay whole would break. So they would hold a backup. They call it matzas suffik. Suffik. The relief pitcher, right? You'd have a backup matzah that you'd already put under the matzah cover, the matzah tash, because it's almost inevitable for one of them to break. So they already put it there to cover yourself that you have two whole and one broken. But really, two whole and one broken recognize this idea as well. The broken matzah is the matzah of avdus, tod lechem oni, poor man's bread, and the shlemos are the whole matzahs representing our wholeness when we left Egypt. Okay, that's the first idea. Chag HaMatzos, the Lashon Rabim, to emphasize this idea about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Thought number two. This, I think, is a question I ask almost every single year at my Seder. I think it's one of those questions that really can cut to the core of what Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about, and can draw everybody in, because it's such a basic question, but it's the answers itself are not so easy. And almost every Haggadah I've seen addresses this question. And that is the following. The Chai Adam would say, when you get up to this paragraph, you got to call everybody back to the Seder. If there's women that are getting ready for the meal and they're running to the kitchen, there are kids that are playing, everybody come back. Everybody come back. Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer. Kol shelo Omer shlosh dvarim elu. Pesach. Lo yatza yidei chavasa. If you didn't say these three things on Pesach, what does lo yatza yidei chavasa mean?
It means its obligation.
You did not meet your obligation of you're not yotze Pesach. That's a pretty serious obligation, right? So it's a machlokas rishonim, how we understand this line. Does that literally mean, like, this is magic? Like, at this, you say Pesach, matzah, maru, boom, I'm yotze? Or is it more like emphasizing these points here? So the chayotim, you should take this very, very literally. If you miss all of magid, and the only thing you could say, Pesach, matzah, maru. Okay, some say the paragraphs, because you have to give the reasons for the mitzvos. It's a one time a year where we we have to say the reasons for the mitzvahs. And the Sfarim write, usually we're not into reasons for mitzvahs. But part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is to understand what happened. Not just what happened, but why we do what we do. So Pesach, Matzah, Maror. If you were writing the Haggadah, would that be the order that you would choose? It sounds good that way. But is that the order you would choose? Yeah, Jonathan, what would you have first? Maror would be first. It's debatable whether matzah should go second or Pesach should go second. It's not clear. I know, because you had the matzah with the Pesach and then you have matzah later. That's a little bit unclear. But at the very least, Maror should be first. Chronologically, Maror happened first. And it happened for a lot longer than the Pesach and the matzah. So Milti is going to say at his Seder, he's going to argue based on what we just said, matzah should go first, but it's not even true. Pesach goes first, right? So you would argue that matzah should go first based on this Ibn Ezra that we just quoted. Okay, good. You see, this is an exciting question because this one, it's not clear. Like, what's the answer here? So I'll share with you two answers. One is a halachic answer, a technical answer. And that is from the Sefer that I quoted from last Thursday also, been written by Raposin from Lakewood. He says that if you look at the mitzvos halayla, maror is only a mitzvah when it's with the Pesach and the matzah. When maror is eaten independently, like we do today, it's only a mitzvah derabbanan. To eat maror today is a rabbinically decreed mitzvah.
And why do we say the bracha?
Oh.
But you don't have to.
So it could be, you're right. Milti is asking a good question. If it's derabbanan, why are you making a bracha on it? Because the answer is, we make brachas on the Rabbanans also. We make a bracha on the Megillah. We make a bracha on Hanukkah candles. It could be that in the times of Beis HaMikdash, we might make a slightly different bracha, recognizing this. The Rambam, actually, in the Rambam Sefer, in Mishnah Torah, there's a bracha on the Korban Pesach that you'd make once a year. Now that trivia question, what are the brachas you make once a year? So that there's a bracha on it. There's a bracha, you know. So you'd eat the maror only with the Pesach and the matzah as a sandwich. So since you wouldn't eat it independently as a mitzvah, so it's last on the list because it is today a rabbinic mitzvah, as opposed to the matzah, which is mandated from the Torah according to everyone.
Why does the matzah go first?
What?
Why does it?
Oh, see, good.
You have a cup of Pesach now. Yeah. That's the only thing that is from the Torah.
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a great question. He hasn't addressed it, right? So you wouldn't be, like, if we were at the Aaron Seder, you would not be happy with this answer because according to this answer, matzah should be first. Good.
And also the matzah, just in terms of, yes, that's the Seder, but it sort of is the kickoff for the whole Pesach phase. And Korban Pesach is like a one-time thing, whereas matzah, we keep going with the matzah. And matzah brachos like encompass, you know, the same idea of like challah encompasses what else you're eating in the meal. So you would think that should be number one. I agree.
That should be number one, right? Okay, good. And in fact, right, that's the main, we're going to talk about this at the Drasha on Shabbos. We'll talk about, is anything different that we are in Gullus today that we have in terms of the Seder? So obviously it's all Korban Pesach, but is a Seder just the same, minus the Korban Pesach, or is it fundamentally more different in terms of the goals or what's said at the Seder 2,000 years later. Okay, so great question. Great question. So answer number two comes from Rav Avram Shor. Rav Avram Shor is a Rav in Brooklyn. He's just unbelievable. He has a Haggadah, which is very thick. And I just saw last week he came out with another Haggadah. This Haggadah is called Halekach V'Halibov. That's all of his Sfarim are called Halekach V'Halibov. There must be some gematria, like connected to his name. So he writes the following. He quotes the Maisa Nisim. The Maisa Nisim Haggadah was written by Rav Yaakov Loiberbaum, who was a great gadol in the 1800s. He wrote a sefer on Chosha Mishkan, which is learned by all Dayanim. I have to know the sefer pretty well. It's called Nesivos HaMishpat. And he has many Sfarim on Megillos and on the Haggadah Shel Pesach. And he writes here that if Mara would be first, we would lose sight of the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim was not only, right, we were subjugated on two levels. Level number one, we were physically in shackles. We were physically, restrained to Egypt. We were slaves. We were physically beaten. Level number two was that we were spiritually defeated. And if we would put Maror in a prominent spot as number one, we would maybe lose sight that that's the only goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim, is just to be free. It's just not to be slaves. So Maror is relegated to number three to show that in addition to the Geulas HaGuf that we experience, there's also a Geulas HaNefesh that we experience at Yetzias Mitzrayim. Therefore, we emphasize first Pesach and Matzah, which are the mitzvos, halayla, the mitzvos, the spiritual connection to the Ribono Shel Olam, that goes first. And then secondly, we go into the Maror. This is really highlighted at the end of the Haggadah, at the end of Magid, make a bracha, which is a very powerful bracha of Asher Ga'alanu. And at the end of the bracha of Asher Ga'alanu, we say, V'nodelecha Asher Chadash al Gu'ulasenu v'al Pidus Nafshenu. Gu'ulasenu, on our redemption, and on our redemption of our souls. Here reflecting the dual nature of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It wasn't just freedom from slavery. It is also a freedom to serve Hashem, the Geulas HaNefesh. Rabbi Jonathan Sachs, Zatzal, highlights this. And he says the difference between those two are highlighted with one word, freedom to, like I just said, or freedom from. Freedom to is all about the goof. I'm not there. So I'm freedom from them. I'm not in Egypt now. I'm free. I could just walk around the desert. But that's not real freedom according to Judaism. So then what are you doing with your time? What are you doing with now all this these opportunities and potential? Freedom to do what? Freedom to receive the Torah, freedom to establish a state of Israel, freedom to create a country that's going to be Or LaGoyim, right? So this is freedom from, freedom to, really highlights these two ideas. Yeah, Mendy.
I'm just thinking, Pesach, Matzah, Mara, it's one of them, like Pesach is a whole positive, right? Matzah, like I said before, we had it, but they had taught that was also talking over that. Mara is all negative. So the emphasis for the night is looking at the very good, which is the carbon Pesach. Then we have the Masa, which is in both places. And then we say the worst Mara for the end.
Very good. Say it again.
Pesach is all positive. It's the carbon Pesach.
Okay.
Masa we had, but we were in
dual nature.
They straddle both ends.
Okay.
Good and bad. Mara is all bad.
So at the Seder, we want to focus more on the good.
Right. So
positive.
Good, bad, to bad.
Very good. Very good. So we're going to focus more on the positive, which is Pesach and Matzah. Very good. Pesach and then Matzah both. Good. Very good. Very good. Another answer to this question is the maror at the end is reframed. Now, you reframe suffering. Suffering within itself is horrific. But when it's looked at in the bigger picture of things, now without these, this stage of Mariros for the Jewish people, we wouldn't have gotten to the stage of the Pesach and the Matzah. So it's put last to, it should be rooted in what happens after that. You see that in our history, right? What the Jewish people go through in terms of suffering and what happens afterwards. The Belzer Rebbe, I have a Haggadah here called the Pardei Sadikim. Sarah's cousin, Sarah's grandfather's first cousin is a Hasidish Rebbe in Borough Park. I brought people from the shul to visit him last year. He's a very special person. I went to this past Simchas Beis Shueva. I went to visit him as well. When we would go to the Shatzer Matzah Factory to bake matzahs, Lava Shalom, very, very sad, the Shatzer Matzah Factory, and we would go afterwards with my kids and my cousin's kids, we would go to visit the Brishtina Rebbe, or of David Eichenstein. And I asked him, probably it was last year, I said, what's your go-to Haggadah? Like, what do you, he's like a real Hasidish Rebbe, like, what do you use? So he said, this is a Haggadah called Pardei Sadikim, which a few years ago was very hard to get. I convinced my father-in-law to go to Borough Park to pick it up. But now it's being sold in like regular in-term stores around here also. So like a lot of stories in this Haggadah. But he has the following basic kasha. This is for us to appreciate. So what do we do at the Seder? It probably takes the most time in the Seder. And that, it depends on who's at your Seder, but the Manashtana. If the kids say the Manashtana, everyone has different rules. Who gets to say the Manashtana? Youngest in all the family is just the youngest of everybody. It's like whatever rules you have for like the banging of Haman, like what you would want, take the same rules here. Like how much time are we being used on this, okay? All the kids say it, this kid says it. But what's interesting is that after, why do we do this? Is because the goal of the night is that the kids ask the questions and the adults answer the questions, right? Shela v'tshuva, question and answer. And it's okay, by the way, as the adults, to say, I don't know. I don't know. That's a good answer too. Kids should hear parents, grandparents, adults say that once in a while as well. After all the kids say the Manashtana, what happens? We all repeat Manashtana, I think, right? And all the, you skip it, you everyone says it together, right? Yeah? No. Yekis don't do that. You represent all the Yekis. No offense, Peter. No offense, Peter. Milti's here. No, I think here it's a lot of these Minhagim are family to family. Yeah. You don't repeat it.
Well, we may sing it after.
Yeah, you sing it after. That's what I mean. You sing it afterwards. So it's like, I thought the Manashtana is the kids, and now the adults are repeating it afterwards. Shira, you don't do that. No. Skip it. Okay, so you skip this Svara Torah. Okay, so ask the Belzer Rebbe, quotes in the name of his father, Yisachar Dov, Mikodem Shalim Abanim Meha Avos. First, the kids ask of the parents. V'acharkach kasher chozer misholim akushios azhu hazman sh'avo sholim ebanim. And now the parents are asking from the kids to show the kids that the parents have what to learn from the children too. Right? We have what to learn from you. And this is really highlighted in the Haftorah, the famous Haftorah for Shabbos Haggadah. The Heshiv Leif Avos Al Banim Vele Banim Al Avosam. The parents will bring back the children And sometimes the children will bring back the parents. I remember Rabbi Marcus from Staten Island. He was my Rav growing up. He once said this. He goes, the year in Israel for so many people has been a fulfillment of this nevuah of the heishiv leibanim alavosa. In many, many families, it's the children who have brought back the parents. And just that movement itself has, you know, elevated all of our communities to a very different level from where we were, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And Rashi here says on this pasuk in Malachi, Yomer Labanim derech ahava v'ratzon l'chu v'dibru el avoseichem l'achoz v'darchei makom v'chein lebanim al avosam. That when you speak to your children, it should be with love and understanding and respect, and then the kids will come back. So we go ahead and we hear it from them. They ask us. It's our responsibility. But the kids need to know that we respect their opinions too. Now we have the ability to learn from them also. And that's the repetition. Again, if you do this at your Seder, you don't have to, of repeating this line in the Haggadah Marishnah. What?
Yeah.
Maybe that's
Yiddish is at our house.
That was my grandparents. That was like the. There was my grandmother's yahrzeit yesterday. She was. They were so happy when like they started teaching that to the great grandchildren. They didn't teach when I was in class. They didn't teach. Yeah, and they were like so happy. Yeah.
I recall this Shabbos. He spent a year on and he had a Seder. He said Manishtan is a bunch of different people from all over. They said Manishtan is seven different languages.
Seven different languages. Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Okay. Towards the end of Magid, there's a time to speak and there's a time to be quiet, right? So I'm not saying you should say the Zvar Torah at this point. Sometimes when you're at like Lefichach and you're saying Hallel, it's not necessarily the time to say Divrei Torah. It's a time to sing. It's a time to sing. You smell the food, right? But this is a nice idea. You can mention it at a different point than the Seder. We say Lefichach Anatu Chayvim, Lodos Lecham, etc. We say Lefar Leromim Lahader Lerarich Lali Lekales Lemish Asa Avosenu Vilanu as Kol Anisam Elu. Right, we're thanking Hashem in many, many different beautiful phrases for the miracles that Hashem did for Avosenu, our forefathers, Milanu, and for us. That is Lefichach. Then we say the two paragraphs of Hallel, the first two paragraphs of Hallel. No bracha on Hallel. No bracha on Hallel. But what do we say in the bracha? Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. Asher Ge'alanu V'ge'al es avoseinu mimitzrayim. What's the bracha here?
Redeemed us
and our forefathers. Notice inconsistency here? Lefichach, when we say Lefichach, our forefathers are going first and then us. Right? And here at the end, the bracha is Hashem redeemed us and then our forefathers. It is the opposite. Why is it? So Rav Rimon, in his Haggadah, which is really amazing, that Haggadah is in English and in Hebrew. It's an awesome Haggadah. Actually, what he's very into is the aesthetics of his Haggadah are beautiful. All of his Sfarim. A lot of great pictures in there with like ancient Haggadahs and Seder plates. So it's a good like show and tell Haggadah too. And amazing, amazing Torah. So he asked this question. No, anyone have any thoughts? Why Lefichach? Is it the fathers, the ancestors first, and then us? And in the bracha at the end, it's the opposite. These are different stages in Geula. Different stages in Geula. When we begin, what are we saying? Mitzada Geula. Yesh Makom. Sorry. Geulas Mitzrayim. Haisa Hashlav HaRishon. In Egypt, that was the first stage or the first experience of Geula. Called Dor Vador Mekadem Es HaGeula L'Shav Gevoyos. We always go back to our forefathers, to our ancestors. Hashem redeemed them, and then we have to view ourselves as if we left. He also redeemed us, but they go first. This bracha at the very end, Asher ge'alanu, v'ge'alas avoseinu, this bracha is not just about Egypt, it's about the future. Who's going to go first? Who's going to lead the way? The next generation, the next generation. So we begin by saying, Asher ge'alanu. It's a hope. This bracha is a tefillah that we're going to experience ge'ula. Hashlav ha'rishon mevaday matzchiyo ba'avoseinu. L'chein hein yiyu ha'kodmim l'fichach. The first stage of ge'ula begins with avoseinu. Heim zachu l'koach ha'reishos ge'ula. They experience the first moments of the redemption, the amazing miracles, and Hashkacha of Hashem. But in the end, in the future Geula, Zochem Anu Lahamshich as Geula Avoseinu, Lagia Lakoma Gvoa Yoser Besulam HaGeula. Then in each generation, we get closer and closer to the Geula. Who's going to experience that Geula first? Us, not Avoseinu. We're going to experience it first. And then afterwards, the Avoseinu are going to come, you know, next. And this really, I think, transitions into the second half of the Haggadah. After we have the meal, right, what do we go into? Hallel and Nirtza is all about the future. Right? The Vilna Gaon said that the Haggadah is split into three. Leil HaSeder is split into three. Past, present, future. Magid, Yachatz, Karpas, Kadesh, Orchatz, it's all about the past. Shulchan Orech, Matzah, Maror, Korech, now. Afikomen, right, sorry, Tzafun, Barech, Halel, Nirtza, it's about the future. All right, so this bracha helps us transition into the present and Bezrat Hashem to the future. Because it's Yitzias Mitzrayim, the very notion that we have Yitzias Mitzrayim, that can help us give us that hope and an optimism that even though things might look difficult right now, they could change just like that for us and for all of Klal Yisrael. Yes?
Just when you're talking about the switch of, you know, with the and then after, which comes first, that will change it, or I'm, you know, class, whatever. It's the same in that. An interesting beginning of Shirat Hayah, where they say, "Send him be gone, they who will pay out people from men." So,
oh, very good.
Themselves first.
Very good.
Because they're experiencing this freedom, this gulag, whatever, at the moment, but they're making kesher to that it's the same kind of
struggle. Yeah, it's the same misora. I have a personal, and I'm also getting it from my parents. Very nice. Very good. Okay. Wish everyone a wonderful Yontif. Thank you.